I appreciate that. As I mentioned earlier, pastor is sick, and when the pastor gets sick at the last moment, it's always great to have someone who can step in who has thousands of messages to preach. And I'm hoping he only picks one this morning, but he's got hundreds and hundreds of messages. But as you know, Preacher Lastly was the human instrument that God used to build Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And if you're not familiar with the history of the church, we won't go all the way back to 1779. He was not the founding pastor. But we could go back to the old, what is now the Gray Funeral Home, and that's where the church was when Preacher Mrs. Lastly came. And God used them to build up the church and to, of course, move to this building over here. And then over time, they continued to grow. And they, in 1975, built this building. And Preacher Lastly retired after 46 and a half years as pastor of this church. So he kind of knows what he's doing. We're not too nervous about it. But it's always a joy to have him come and preach. And I say all that in case you're visiting, that you'll know exactly who this is. A man who knows God, a man who loves God. And he'll be a blessing to you, I know.
Thank you, Brother Gary. I've been asked many times, am I the founding pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Well, if it was, I'd be in heaven, which is far better, I guess, but the Lord's leaving me around to afflict the saints a little bit longer and after 60-something years of preaching. And it's always, I've retired from pastoring, but not retired from preaching the Word of God, lifting up Jesus. It's all we need to do. And a preacher needs to do three things. He needs to be ready to preach, ready to pray, and ready to die. Well, I've sent that last ready to die. I settled out when I got 13, when it's 13, in a revival. I got saved. And I wasn't ready, didn't think I'd be preaching this morning. But Brother Jody had called and was sick, and I was glad to fill in. So I appreciate the privilege. It's a privilege to stand and have the eternal Word of God forever settled in heaven before you. This is the precious, inspired, infallible Word. I feel sorry for those that can't believe that. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all, whether I understand it or not. Amen. And, I better get to my message here. So, let you out a little before supper time tonight. But, turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, page 422 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Somebody say amen right there. And you know, this is one of many preachers and people, believers, will tell you this is one of their favorite chapters. But it's come time for Elijah to go home to glory. And he's on his way in the first part of chapter 2 Kings chapter 2. And Elisha tried to shake him, but he wouldn't. He wanted to stay with him till he saw him, because God was going to come and get him in a chariot of fire. And let's move down to verse 8. And Elijah took the mantle. Now they stood by the, as verse 7 says, by the Jordan, River Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. You say, Preacher Lastly, do you believe that? Well, what does the Bible say? It said it happened. The Bible says it's happened. I'm going to take the word of God over some seminary professor. Just go with the Word of God. Whether you understand it or not, it's true. If I can't understand it, it's my fault. But it's true. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And folks, we need that, don't we? Amen. We need that, same as he needed it. All of those 896 B.C. here in 2019, we need it today. And he said, thou ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Isn't that a great scene? My. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, rent them in two pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed down themselves to the ground before him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good service, the good songs that blessed our heart. And now, Lord, I've been at this a long time, and you know and I know I can't preach without your help. And so would you help me? May the blessed Holy Spirit help the Word of God to come alive to all of us today. Speak to heart, somebody with a great need, great burden. God, we know you're the great burden bearer. We can cast our burdens on the Lord, knowing you care for us. Pray for that one here today that may be walking out of fellowship with the Lord, or somebody here today that has never had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and received him into their hearts and lives and been born again. Oh, Lord, I pray that this will be the day, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their hearts and they'd come and humble themselves before God and look to the Lord and be saved before they leave here. Now, Lord, again, bless this, your preacher. Lord, I can't preach without your help. Would you give them of the Holy Spirit to me today and bless these dear people. Touch Brother Jody. Lord, bring him back to us real soon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It had been 10 long years since the prophet Elijah came to Elisha's father, his father's farm down in the Jordan Valley. And he just went up to him and threw his mantle upon Elisha's shoulder, signifying that God had called Elisha to be a prophet. Elisha left everything and followed Elijah. His father was a wealthy man. But Elisha, like we need to do if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he left everything and followed Elijah faithfully and saw the hand of God on his ministry. And he had seen Elijah perform many mighty miracles in the power of God. He had just seen Elijah whack the Jordan River, and the river parted, and they walked across the riverbed. Verse 8 says it was dry ground. They didn't walk across in knee-deep mud, but when God does a miracle, he does it right, doesn't he? And they walked over on dry ground. When they got to the other side, Elisha saw another amazing miracle to close out Elijah's life. A chariot of fire swooped down from heaven and took Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind. That's a mighty, mighty, mighty exciting thing. The most trying moments now of Elisha's life were those few minutes after he picked up Elijah's mantle and walked over to the bank of the River Jordan after Elijah's translation to glory. Elisha's final request for a double portion of Elijah's spirit to be upon him. What a great desire. And oh, we all need to desire that. And as he came to the river, he needed, that river was there. He needed the power of God. And only the miracle of God could open those waters for him. So Elisha was put to the test. And with a giant step of faith, Elisha walked down to the river's edge and smote the waters and said in verse 14, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Brother, when the mantle of Elijah that he had wrapped around his hand touched the water. It opened right up, and Elisha went over to the other side of Jordan. What an exciting thing. Every preacher has preached on this. I've preached on it many times when I've here at Buffalo. I don't have any messages I have on this passage. You've heard this one before. Some of you have, and you're going to hear it again. And it's what God lays on my heart. I enjoy coming to this passage. And I want us to look at closely at the details of this first miracle. This is the first miracle of Elisha. The first great truth is we see in verse 9 and 10 on a lesson on anointing. Look at 9 and 10 again. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask, and notice what he said, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he noticed now what he said. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. Now, let me say this. You might say, preacher, what is meant by anointing? Now, that's pretty little difficult to answer fully for full satisfaction. But it just means freedom. The Lord give you freedom. And I prayed that the Lord this morning give me freedom as I stand here. Not to brag on Gene Lashley that I've had 46 years. You know, I need the Lord now as much as I've ever needed him in my life. And it's freedom and liberty when we serve the Lord. When you teach a Sunday school class, when you sing, when you preach, when you go out on the bus ride, you need the blessing and touch of God on you. Now, the anointing is also called the touch of God. And it's just the presence. You feel his wonderful presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Or help from above. Sometimes you just feel help from another world. And I know what it is. But also, I know, John, just like you do, I know what it is not. And any God-called preacher, if he's called of God, can preach with help from above. And when I don't feel God around, I've told people here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church many times, I'd rather be out with my hound dogs chasing a fox or a rabbit to try to preach without the Lord's help. And you may ask, what do you do when you stand up and preach or teach or sing or witness? And God doesn't seem like he's in 40 foot of you. What do you do? Now what I try to do when I get up here, and many times down through the years, I felt God up here when I preached, and sometimes I felt old Gene Lashley up here just by myself. Didn't feel God in 40 foot of me. Now what do? Just be faithful to God. Where you feel like it or don't feel like it, just go on being faithful to God and his being faithful to the Word of God. And God can bless his word many times when we may feel like we struck out. I remember over in the chapel, that's a long way, it's many years ago, but there was a man, he was one of the finest men in this community. Some of the people, some of you senior saints, you remember Foy Fitch. He used to come over in the chapel, good man, one of the best men in this whole community, but he had never been saved. And his wife and daughter were faithful to the church, faithful Christians. And evangelists talked to him. I'd talk to him. But he was nice about it, but he just wouldn't move. And one Sunday over to chapel, I don't even remember what I preached on or anything like that. Here come Foy down the aisle. And I didn't feel much that day, but God worked on his heart. And they prayed with him. And from then on, he lived for the Lord the rest of his days. Right before he died, I went to his farm down the country, and I said, Foy, I remember the day you come forward, and you said you trust Christ as your Savior. Now, are you satisfied? They say he was going on to the other side. I said, are you satisfied as you try maybe pass on to the other? He said, preacher, I'm satisfied. That's what, when you get born again, you'll be prepared for the movement to another world. But every preacher, as I said, is preached on this chapter. But in verse 9, Elisha asked for a double portion of thy spirit to be upon me. And when Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of the spirit, Look at the response in verse 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, notice now, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Elijah said, if you see me, and when I'm translated to glory, then you'll know that'll be assurance that you've had a double portion of God's Spirit upon you. That'll be your assurance. And those first four words, and Elisha saw it. Praise God, that's what it took. He saw it. And that meant that he had a double portion of the Spirit of God. And all he had to do was just see it. And here he is now with the mantle of Elijah, when he whacked those waters and of the Jordan River, and they opened up, that was proof that the anointing of God's Spirit rested upon Elisha. Elisha said, if you see me when I'm taken away, it shall be so. And Elisha saw it. And Elisha was anointed with God's Spirit because he kept his eyes on Elijah. Now that's a great lesson. There's some lessons from this passage I'm giving you today. There's a great lesson in this for us. As we face, here's a great crowd, there's challenges all over. I know them right now. I know them that people are facing right now. Challenges today in just ahead of you. And listen, folks, as we face these challenges, if we want God's Spirit to rest up on us, you know, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Him. And just, we need, around church, you know what we need to do? Preach the Word and brag on Jesus. And I'll guarantee you, if we'll be a people of the Word and bragging on Jesus, God will bless this church until Jesus comes in the air. And America is going down the drain morally, spiritually, and financially. And folks, let's keep our eyes off of man and keep our eyes off of churches and politicians. God help us. All the mess going on, and I'm not going to get on that. And the people and good works and even experiences. Let's get our eyes on Jesus, and we will know the power of God. You get saved and get in the Word of God every day and try to live right, and you can know the power of God in your life, I'll guarantee you. In spite of all the ungodliness and apostasy that's going around today. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I like that little chorus. It is Jesus, only Jesus. It is Jesus in my heart. It is Jesus. And oh, I'm glad just to get up here today and lift Jesus up. That's a blessing to lift him. It is Jesus, only Jesus. It is Jesus in my heart. So folks, around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, exalt the pastor. Don't exalt the Sunday school teacher, the deacon. Let's all together exalt the Lord Jesus Christ around this place. And Brother God will mightily bless us till the rapture of the church. Let's look at a second lesson. The lesson on death to self in verse 12. Look at verse 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now when Elisha saw it, this is the first thing he did. He took of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. The Jordan River is a type of death. And Elisha passed through the Jordan signifying death to self. And before anyone can ever know the anointing of God's Spirit, if you won't be anointed with God's Spirit, you need to brag on Jesus and deny self. That's two things that'll get the blessing of God on your life. We can never be used of God until we die out to self and trying to please people. And for 46 years, the people know I love them, but I did not just try to please them. I tried to please God and be faithful to His Word. And that's what we all ought to do. We must seek to please the Lord alone. The Apostle Paul said in John 3:30 there, not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. And we must come to the conclusion that Paul did in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Paul tells us in Philippians 3:3, have no confidence in the flesh. We ought not have confidence in preacher flesh or deacon flesh or mama flesh or daddy flesh. Have no confidence in any flesh. The flesh we all will struggle with till we get to glory. We all carry around an old fleshly nature. Even when we're born again, we've still got the old fleshly nature that we have to contend with. Jesus said in John 15:5, for without me, you can do nothing. Listen, all of us need to understand that. When I'm trying to preach, I want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ up here. If I'm trying to exalt Gene Lashley, God won't bless at all. And when you're out teaching, on the bus route, or singing, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. No one will ever be used of God till they die out to self and self-effort and look to Jesus alone and tell him, Lord, we're goners unless he blesses us and uses us. When Elijah tore his own clothes and took up the mantle of Elijah, it signified that he was announcing all self-efforts and depending on God's power alone. Why don't every one of us that's saved do that this morning? And we need to do it over and over again as we go down through life. It would have been crazy for him to come to the River Jordan and slap the Jordan in his own power. And have you come to the place where you've renounced self and said, Lord, I will be a total failure unless you bless me. And that's right. If you tell the Lord that, you're right. I will. It'll be right for me. And unless he blesses us and helps us, we'll be a failure. And tell the Lord, some of you this morning need to tell the Lord that. If you want the anointing and the blessing and the presence of God in your life, just say, Lord, I'll fail without your help. I'm looking to you. Then a third thing, in Elisha's, I've got plenty of time here. A third thing in Elisha's first miracle, lesson on God's power. There was nothing sacred in Elijah's mantle in itself, that is. It just represented the power of God. It was a badge or a symbol of the office of the prophet. And as Elisha was being translated to heaven, I believe God took off the mantle off his shoulders as he was going up, and I believe he placed the mantle at Elisha's feet. And when he picked up that mantle and walked over to the Jordan River and hacked the waters, it was an act of appropriating or taking possession of the power of God. And the power of the Holy Spirit is not given to us to brag about. Or for self-glory. Or he doesn't give us his power on our lives, not for us to just enjoy. God's power is given to everyone. If you're saved, you want God's power, he'll give it to you to use for his glory. His glory and his glory alone. And for the 46 years I was pastor at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, one of the greatest experiences a man God can ever give a man. And but let me get back on here. Every time I would come to the pulpit, I'd go over Brother Gary's scene over on the lake. I'd go park my car and walk up to that creek up below the dam. There's a place up in there. Every Sunday morning I'd go. And I'd get on my knees at that big rock there and fall and tell the Lord that I need his spirit, and I will fail without the Lord's help and without his spirit. And when the anointing and liberty is not there, I'd tell him, Lord, without your anointing and your help, I can't get the job done. And by the way, you can't either. You can't either. Sunday school teacher, bus captain, deacon, the staff members, you can't get the job done either without help from God, without anointing from God. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Then let me go on to the fourth lesson on the challenges of life we see in verse 13. Let's read verse 13 there. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And as he went back and stood by the river Jordan, he faced a humanly impossible challenge. How would you like to go over here to Houston River and start whacking the river and expecting it to open up? Somebody would call the police and they'd send a paddy wagon, take you off to the closest mental health clinic. But Elijah was in a dilemma. There was no Elijah around any longer. He had his friends and the prophets on the other side of the river, but they couldn't help him. Some have suggested Elisha probably didn't know how to swim or had to dove in and paddle across the river. But the only answer to Elisha's dilemma was the power of God. He needed a miracle from God. And maybe you've come to this service this morning asking God to help you with a situation you face, for which you have absolutely no answer. I talked to a dear lady before we came, and she faced a situation. I told her if she looked to the Lord, the Lord could help her, and that's right. And maybe you've come to this service asking God to help you with, there's people you wouldn't even probably tell anybody, but you're facing situations. You have absolutely no answer. Maybe you face some problem or situation in your life. It's impossible, just as it was to Elisha, standing there on the banks of the River Jordan. The problem you may have there seems to have no human solution. You don't know what to do. Did it ever occur to you that God may have allowed that situation that you're in right now to come into your life to get you in a place where you'd look up to God alone for his help? And I urge you this morning, friend, why don't you look back to the Lord God of heaven for the answer to your problem this morning? Now, I've told these stories. Like I tell stories, you've heard them before, but I'm going to tell another that you've heard before, but it was real to me. Oh, it's somewhere around 10 or 15 years before my days. I knew that years ago that I knew my days at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church were about over. And in my mind, I wanted to see a Holy Ghost revival come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church like I had seen as a boy. When I was a boy, before I went off to play ball down in Mississippi, a great revival came to my hometown every night after supper. After Mama and Daddy and just three kids at home there after they ate that big head and big glass of tea, iced tea and a big pan of cornbread and pinto beans and fried potatoes. Now that's, by the way, that's what they're going to serve at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've already put that order in. You can't beat that. But let me get back on that where I was. You got me off of my situation. But we'd go up to a little tent, not a tent, but a little church, 1 mile up Moxon Hollow Road. And I'm telling you, the power of God was coming down. I like to get around. As a boy, a senior, had already graduated from high school, before I went off to college, I'm glad the Lord sent a revival. And we need revival, folks, in our churches. Or we're going to lose our young people if we don't have revival. We need revival. But people would get saved, they'd shout, and people would get healed. And there's more sometimes on the outside looking in the windows. Their air conditioning would just open the windows back in those days. And I told before, one of the first souls I ever won to Christ, my first cousin sitting there with me on the bank outside, we was looking in, watching the preaching, singing, and shouting, and all that. I said, Ed, why don't you go in and get saved? He had messed his life up. He said, I believe I will. And he walked in, and they went down forward, and the mourner's bench came up praising the Lord. And all I did is, Ed, why don't you, you can ask people to do that. Just, if you know them, just say, why don't you get saved? Why don't you go down and get saved? But the Lord is able to help us. But anyway, that was a great revival that I was in before I went off to school. And here I was about to retire in a few years. I knew it was getting close. And I wanted God to send a Holy Ghost revival to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But you know what? What God did? He sent me prostate cancer. And I remember every day as I'd cross Highway 36 up in Kingsport going to Holston Valley Cancer Center, I'd turn the chuck wagon gang. Some of you might not like it. That's your problem. I love them. And they'd sing every day. I'd turn this. I don't know if God anointed this song for me. I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ, my Lord. I can e'er depend on his precious word. When the clouds hang low or the skies are fair, I am safe, I know, for my Lord is there. And every day as I had cancer in my body going for radiation, 3 a day, five days a week, and 3 weeks at 75 radiation. Every day, the Lord didn't give me a revival here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, but he gave me a personal revival in my car for 3 weeks every day. And I'll never, and every day when I'd turn that song on, the Holy Spirit seemed to ride right with me in that car to the Holston Valley. And then I didn't care what they did to me when I went in there. So folks, I'm about ready to close here on this, but my answer, our answer today to your problem is have faith in God. Have faith in God, regardless what you face. God's able. If he's God, he's able to help you with that problem. Amen. Then one other thing, and I'll let you go. A lesson on influence. Look at verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said, "Goodness gracious, we got rid of one Elijah. Now we've got another one on our hands." And this miracle convinced these prophets on the other side of the Jordan River that God's power now rested on Elisha. And they were convinced that he had taken the place of Elijah as their leader. Now what did they do? In verse 15, they bowed themselves down to the ground before him. Let me ask you a searching question this morning. When the world looks at you, do they see the Lord at work in your life? And none of us are perfect. But every now and then we ought to have a testimony of what something God has done for us. Do they know that you can get a prayer through to God? Folks, the greatest thing in the world is to be able to get a prayer through to God. That's our birthright as born-again believers. As saved people, that's our birthright. Could you testify, stand and testify this morning in this church that God is answering your prayers every now and then? You say, "Preacher, do all your prayers get answered?" No, they don't. But every now and then they do. I'm not going to preach as long as others have preached in this book, but I'm just about ready to come in here. But I've looked down here and about a former member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church 50 years ago had a serious problem after he left the church, moved down toward Knoxville, Morristown, somewhere down there. And he called me to ask me to pray for him. He said it looked like he might lose both kidneys. And he said, "Preacher Lashley, I'm not asking anyone else to pray for me." And I said, "Well, wait a minute. I wanted to not be the only one." He said, "No." He said, "I'm not asking anyone else." And that humbled me. And I went before God and I said, "Lord, this man's life is depending on my prayers." And I searched my life and I tried to get everything in order so it could remove all hindrances and get my prayer through to him. Day after day, I called on God and God gave assurance that he had heard my prayers. And that has been many years ago. And the man is alive and still doing well today. And you say, "Preacher, does God always answer your prayers?" No, but he's answered enough of my prayers that I know he's a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. Now, is Elijah, let me ask you a question. Is Elijah and Elijah's God still answering prayer in 2019? Yes, he is. Let me read this verse here. I'm getting ready to close and let you get home, consume those calories you don't need. But Hebrews 4:16. The word of God says, let us therefore come boldly, I mean with assurance, to the throne of grace, that we may, this is what God offers to us, if we will come boldly to the throne of grace, if we're a child of God, that we may obtain mercy, there's mercy for you, and find grace to help in time of need. There's help for you, for a child of God, in the needs we face down through life. Elijah's God is still on the throne, and he's able to meet your need. I don't care what it is. If you'll just trust him, if you're his child, he can meet that need. Just give him a chance. And here's how to get a prayer through. Get through. You want to say, preacher, how do you get a prayer through? Get broken before God. Get broken before God. And for 46 years, I've noticed when I'd come up here and I'd have a broken heart, God would usually work sometimes in the hearts and lives of people. Psalm 51:17 says the sacrifices of God are what? A degree from a biblical institution, or you don't go to the movies or dances, or I'm against all that. But here's what will get you through to God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. That is getting broken before God. You don't see many people broken in our churches, and we don't have revival. When we get broken, where we'll weep and beseech God. He says, sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. You get broken before God, business will pick up according to the word of God. Get desperate with God. Turn your case over to him. Will you do it this morning? Just turn that case over to the Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of God. That's a hard thing for us to do, isn't it? All of us, preachers too. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and God says, he shall lift you up. There's many needs today. Maybe you're here not sure if you die now you'd go to heaven. I'd come and get on my knees, and I wouldn't leave here until I got that assurance today. It's there. If you humble yourself before God, business will pick up. Maybe you've got a health need or some need. I don't care what the need is. He's humble yourself in the sight of God, and he'll lift you up. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, there's many needs, I'm sure, in a crowd this size. And I thank you for you're a fine crowd to preach to. And I've tried to be faithful to you, faithful to the word of God and faithful to your soul. But there's needs. I know the Lord can meet the need you have. If you just give him a chance, humble yourself before God. How many of you say, preacher, I have a need in my heart. Maybe it's a physical need or some other kind of need. Maybe it's you're not sure you're saved, whatever. You have a need in your heart and life. You say, preacher, I need the Lord's help. And pray for me. I have a need. Just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Just go, yes, yes. Others, many of you. Slip your hand up. You have a need, just raise it up. We'll pray for you. Father, we thank you for this privilege of one more time this side of eternity, allowing me to handle the word of life, God's precious book. Thank you for this privilege of coming here all these years. Now, Lord, this is another service. We have great needs here today. Lord, all these hands going up. And I pray that, Lord, you'll meet their need. May they turn everything over to the Lord. May they look to you, Lord. Lord, bring them through. Bring them through rejoicing in the goodness of God. Answer their prayers this morning for somebody not sure they're saved. I pray, Lord, you'd have them to come to this altar and this morning and settle that thing. Lord, help everyone with that need to come to this altar today and get on their knees before God and take that need to the Lord. Whatever it is, spiritual or physical need, whatever it is, may the Holy Spirit move upon us now in this invitation, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Garrett, just lead us in that song there with heads bowed and eyes closed. And if the Lord's spoken to your heart, you need to come get in this altar this morning. Humble yourself before God. He can take care of that need. Come on as we're saying, Brother Gary.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted?
Come on. Come on to take, bring that need to Jesus. Come on. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what people think of you. Bring that need to Jesus. Come on. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Come on. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus.
Sing that last verse. Keep praying now. Come on. Have a need.
At the thought of dying, tell it to Jesus. Tell
the Lord knows
it
all about
to
it.
Jesus.
Come on.
For Christ's coming kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You. No other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Folks are praying. If you haven't obeyed the Spirit of God, now's your time. One more verse, ladies, play that. A lot of folks raise their hands. Have you done what God wants you to do? Humble yourself. Beg God to meet that need. If you're not sure of heaven this morning, won't you come? We'll take a Bible, get that all settled for you. Well, wasn't that a blessing? Amen. Thank you, preacher, for opening up your heart to us this morning. And again, I worked for the preacher for, I guess, 25 years or so, and have known him for many more years. But what you heard is not just some mystical weird thing or just talk. That's a life that has lived it. And
it's
over
my
and over
privilege
and over
to
again.
Serve him. My
Amen.
Privilege. Amen. Yes.
He's lived what he told you, folks, and it worked. And it'll work for us, too. May God help us to be that kind of people. Amen. What a blessing. Continue to pray for Pastor. And again, at 4 o'clock today in Ohio, Brother Bob will be preaching the funeral for his aunt. And as the Lord lays that on your heart, be praying for him. His aunt, very, very bad situation. I don't know if I need to give details or not. But great need, very difficult mess, funeral today. And probably a lot of unsafe folks there. So pray for Bob, that God would just give him real freedom using there today. Larry Trent, would you please stand and dismiss us in prayer, please?